Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast, where we talk all things nutrition, health, fitness, and mindset with a healthy side of sarcasm. I'm your host, Dana Montes of Real Food with Dana. I'm a nutritionist and body image coach, teaching women how to heal their relationship with food and their bodies, ditch the diet cycle for good, and truly thrive with real food, one delicious meal at a time. Welcome back. Happy holidays, happy day after Christmas if you celebrate that. If you do not, happy holidays either way. It's almost New Year's. So I figured that this week, instead of doing another episode on nutrition science or body image or relationship with food or holiday eating like we've been doing the past couple of weeks, this week we're going to do a fun episode and switch it up. And I'm going to interview Chef Nate Weir, who is the Director of Culinary Operations at Modern Market. So in this week's episode, we are going to learn about Chef Nate's journey from growing up in Haiti, so very different upbringing and background from many of us who listen to this podcast, to moving to the U.S., becoming a chef at the probably the coolest culinary program that I've ever heard of, and then going on to become the Director of Culinary Operations at Modern Market, which is one of the pioneering and actually healthy fast casual restaurants in the US. So I first heard of and learned to love Modern Market in, I think, around 2010 when I was visiting one of my best friends in Boulder, Colorado, and I was immediately thrilled and sad all at the same time because it was amazing, but we didn't have anything even remotely close to that back in DC in terms of sustainability and local food sourcing and actually good, healthy food that could meet a variety of different dietary restrictions. And so we're also going to learn about today what spiked Chef Nate's passion for cooking healthy food, what it's like to go to a farm-to-table program at the Culinary School of the Rockies in Boulder, which is the program that I was talking about, and the story of how Chef Nate came to work at Modern Market, which is still one of my favorite restaurants, definitely my number one fast casual recommendation, and like I said, a great place to go meet any dietary needs or restrictions. But not only that, but with high quality ingredients and lots of flavor, which is what we're always looking for. And then we're also going to be talking about the evolution of how Modern Market came to be. And it's really fun to see behind the scenes of, again, an actually healthy restaurant chain that has grown to be nationwide and so successful while maintaining its values and integrity, its focus on sustainable sourcing, seasonal menu items, and local items where possible. Then finally, we're going to talk about Chef Nate's favorite menu items at Modern Market, what it looks like at home when he cooks for his family, and finally, his advice for taking the guilt out of holiday food choices.
So my name is Nate Weir, and I'm the culinary director for Modern Market. I've been with Modern Market for about 7.5 years. And in this role, I kind of oversee everything to do with our food, which as a restaurant chain, we have 30 units right now. It's a lot of different stuff. So I do everything from helping to conceptualize menu items, figure out where we're going to source those ingredients from, looking at food costs, and then actually writing recipes and creating videos and working on training materials and being in the stores trying to help us do a better job with our food. And, you know, Modern Market is kind of designed to be a better for you eatery. While we're not 100% health food, we're very conscious about what goes into our food. It's extremely clean label. You won't find any preservatives. We're very careful with sugars. We make almost everything from scratch in our restaurants, which is challenging to do since everything costs, you know, $10 or less for the most part. And so, you know, that really puts a lot of pressure on me as a chef to make sure I'm writing recipes in a way that makes sense and that our team members can execute them, making them from scratch. But we think that's the right way to do food. And the cool thing about it is it lets us be able to fit all kinds of different diets. So if you're Whole30 or vegan or gluten-free or, you know, whatever restriction or diet you might be trying to fit into, we almost always have something available for you just by virtue of making everything from scratch in the restaurants. But I've been a chef for about 15 years and worked in restaurants since I was in high school and kind of grew up in this business and grew up eating real food too. So I've always been about kind of the real food movement, and that's where it all starts for me. And it's cool to get to do it here at Modern Market because a lot of people, I think, are still trying to figure out how to eat that way. And again, you know, if you're 100% vegan, 100% organic, we're not the best restaurant for you. You know, we're not 100% organic restaurant, even though we'd love to be. But the reality is that a lot of people just aren't there yet. A lot of people aren't ready to eat that way. And I see that all over the country, that for a lot of folks, just, you know, having a good salad for lunch instead of McDonald's is a huge step in the right direction. And for that to be possible, you have to have a place where you can go to get a good salad that tastes good, that you feel good about. And so that's something that we're trying to do, is have those better options and be a better alternative for people. And it's a really fun challenge.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I was reading in another interview that you did that you actually grew up in Haiti. So you have a completely different upbringing from most American kids and most American chefs too.
Sure. Yeah, my folks are missionary kids, you know, not traditional, like not church planning. My mom was a nurse and my dad was a radio engineer, and they actually met on their way to Haiti. And so I was born there. My younger brother and sister were, and I lived there until I was about 12. Now, we would come back to the States every few years. So we'd spend about 4 years in Haiti and then we'd come back to the U.S. for a year. So I got a little bit of exposure to both cultures. But certainly being in Haiti, I think, really shaped my view around food. And, you know, my mom was shocked when I ended up being a chef. But, you know, looking back, I can certainly see little cues that pointed me in this direction. And my early experiences of food were stuff that was prepared in my house. You know, we never went out to dinner. You know, it wasn't like pack up the family in the car and let's go through the drive-thru. That wasn't even an option in Haiti. I mean, and frankly, we really didn't have processed food. We didn't even have like cereal. You know, like my mom would make granola. And, you know, that's what we'd have for breakfast, was like homemade granola. Like, we weren't buying, you know, Fruit Loops or whatever. So certainly a little different experience there. And then just in the types of food that I was eating, you know, I grew up eating a lot of like breadfruit and conch and, you know, cornmeal and beans. And those are just kind of goat meat, you know, like nice lean goat meat and stuff like that, that, you know, we had an avocado tree in our yard. So, you know, my mom would say, hey, go get some avocados. And like my brother and I would go climb the tree and come back with a couple avocados for dinner.
Just
so
living the dream.
Yeah, exactly. So it was pretty amazing. And but again, it was all very hands on and very real. I remember going to, you know, open air markets with my mom, and, you know, and we'd shop and people would just have a big basket of rice right there. And we'd get, you know, a couple scoops of rice. It didn't come in a box. So there was always that connection for me of what food really looked like, what real food is. And that sort of translated into my journey as a chef, you know, where I've always sought out, you know, ingredient focused and started with, you know, whole fruits, whole vegetables, you know, whole stuff as where food comes from and the best way to go about cooking it.
That's so cool. And then I also read that you went to the farm to table program at the Culinary School of the Rockies in Boulder, which sounds like the coolest program I've ever heard of. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, it was incredible. And I had been working in restaurants doing, you know, like the general manager, more front house side. But the thing that got me the most excited was when the line would crash and I'd jump in the back on the grill and dig everybody out. So I found a love for, you know, actually cooking. And when it came time to look for culinary schools, I wanted something that was going to fit my ethos around food. And I was already, you know, going to farmers markets regularly. And again, you know, trying to cook with whole ingredients at home. And the program I found was in Boulder, Colorado. It was the, you know, farm to table program, as you mentioned, and it was really the first of its kind in the country. And, you know, this was the mid-2000s, and so farm to table was just kind of coming into our nomenclature a little bit. I think people were
mostly
starting to
just in Colorado, maybe in Vermont.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a little bit on the coast. I think that's exactly right. But, you know, it's been really interesting to see just the evolution of people getting more and more interested in where their food's coming from. And, you know, that was kind of right before the local movement exploded. And I think in some ways we were already shifting away from the local movement another little bit, but that's probably a topic for another podcast. But so anyway, so the Farm to Table program, it was kind of like culinary high school. So it was Monday through Friday, and it was all day long, and it was all food focused. So a lot of culinary programs will have, you know, maybe like a business component to it. I'd already been to college and, you know, had degrees in marketing and business management. And so I wasn't looking for that. And so this was all about the food. And, you know, we'd start every morning with lecture and then we would be in the classroom cooking food. But what really made the course special was a focus on using local ingredients in Boulder and full circle cooking. And so as part of the program, we worked on an organic vineyard for a few days, and we worked on an organic buffalo ranch, and we'd go out at 5 o'clock in the morning and meet local farmers that had partnered with the program. And, you know, we'd divide up and we'd meet them in the fields, and I'd pick, you know, 100 pounds of green beans. And then we'd come back to the culinary school and I'd have some of those green beans and you'd have some squash blossoms and somebody else would have, you know, some heirloom tomatoes. And that would be what we'd learn to cook with that day. And same thing, Boulder County has an amazing farmer's market. And every Wednesday night, we'd go to the farmer's market, pick whatever looked best, whatever was most in season. And that's what we would cook with on Thursday in culinary school. So again, it was kind of a throwback to the way I grew up. And it was that connection to the food and seeing all the hard work that it takes. And that, you know, food isn't just something that shows up on the shelf magically. There's a lot of work that takes before you get to that point. And, you know, for me, that instilled a desire to want to honor ingredients and to really appreciate where the ingredients are. But also, you know, the way those ingredients are grown and where they come from are so important. And, you know, I think like food is at its best when there's a story to it. And even if that story is as simple as, you know, like I know where these apples came from, I think that can be really powerful. And for me, again, it's all about, I love cooking with real food. One of the principles of Modern Market, we talk about shopping the perimeter of the grocery store, right? Staying away from the aisles where everything's already processed and broken down and in a box with, you know, all natural plastered on the front, even though that's meaningless. Right. And so I think that's just really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great because that's one of the things that I always try and teach to my clients, you know, like shop the perimeter of the grocery store. So it's amazing that, I mean, I was just saying before we started recording that I remember back in, this must have been 2010, so maybe probably the same year that you started at Modern Market was my first exposure to what was then Mod Market, right, in Boulder.
Right.
And my friend Rosa was like, oh my God, Dana, you're going to love this restaurant. I have to take you there. Cause she knew that I was celiac and I was also like very lactose intolerant. She's like, there's so much you're going to be able to eat here. It's great. And there was like gluten-free pizza on the menu and gluten-free sandwiches. And I was like, what? Like, first of all, skeptic in the back of my head was like, there's no way this is actually going to be good, you know? But then I tried it and was like, oh my God, why can't we have one of these in DC? Like, it was just amazing. Cause I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but was Modern Market one of the first like actual healthy fast casual places? Cause I think at that time it was mostly just like Chipotle and maybe a salad place.
That's exactly why Modern Market was started. I think you're right. You know, in those days, we thought Subway was healthy.
Right, exactly. They're like, oh, it's low-fat everything. Let's go there.
Yep. And, you know, our owners and founders are both really healthy guys. And that's really why they got the idea to start, you know, Mod Market, now Modern Market. It's just in their personal lives, they got tired of not finding places that they could go to eat. And, you know, what my one owner, Anthony, says is the place that they felt best about was Chipotle or Whole Foods. And who wants to eat in a grocery store every day? And you definitely can't have burritos for lunch every day, even though they were clean and, you know, more healthy at the time. And so they just really sensed the need for something a little bit different, where you could actually eat this food every single day and that it would make you feel good and nourish your body. And, you know, a little bit of indulgence here and there is okay, I think, within moderation. And so, sure, we have a pepperoni pizza on the menu, but it's made with organic tomatoes and it's made with a dough that has whole wheat flour in it. And, you know, we find ways to incorporate stuff like that, you know, nitrate and additive free pepperoni. And, you know, even little touches like that. Like if you're going to indulge and have a pepperoni pizza, then at least try to have one where, you know, there's not four different kinds of sugar hiding in the tomato sauce that you don't even realize are in there. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the principle that we've been founded on. And it's been really cool to have some success. It feels great.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that I always tell my clients is like, if you're going to choose to have an indulgence, like make it something good. Don't make it like shitty Domino's pizza that A, doesn't even taste that great, and B, probably does not feel great on the way down. You know,
right.
You might as well choose something that's like a pizza from Modern Market that has locally sourced ingredients and they're paying attention to their sourcing and things are seasonal and all this stuff. And it'll taste really good and you're probably going to feel better afterwards too.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's hard to do this time of year. I know we're talking a little bit about like the holidays today, but, you know, I think that that's something big for me with trying to stay healthy is just having a plan so you don't get stuck in the you know, the mall food court and all of a sudden you're eating like some bourbon chicken or some Sbarro's or you know, something like that. Like, you know, try to think ahead of time where you're going to eat and can you go to a place like Modern Market or, I mean, no matter where you live in the country, there's, you know, there's more and more options now. So, you know, there are Sweet Greens or, you know, a Zoe's or some other place where you can at least get a little bit better meal and have a plan ahead of time versus all of a sudden it's, you know, 2 o'clock and your cart's full and you're starving and you're sitting at the, you know, the McDonald's and Walmart or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what led you personally to Mod Market back then?
So in 2010, I was coming out of working at a fine dining kitchen in Boulder, which was really fun. We had opened the restaurant about 2 years before, and, you know, we'd won some local awards for best new restaurant. It was a farm-to-table restaurant focused around wood-burning cooking. So we had a wood-burning grill and rotisserie, a wood-burning pizza oven. It was all, like, reclaimed wood from forests that were being chopped down. And,
so
you know,
cool.
Yeah, and it was really cool. And so it was like this very, it was the farm to table kind of thing. You know, I had people, you know, would ring the back door and it would be a guy who had wild foraged mushrooms from, you know, the mountains of Colorado. And they were $30 a pound, right? You know, and I'd buy 5 pounds and we'd make a special risotto that night that featured these mushrooms, right? So that was very, very cool. But I was, you know, looking for something a little different. Those hours were really long. And there was always a little bit of a disconnect, I think, for me with doing this really high-end food and seeing who the clientele were and the people that were able to access it. And, you know, when I came across the Modern Market job, that was something that really resonated with me. And, you know, initially they were just looking for somebody to consult on a few seasonal menu items, and that was something I was comfortable doing. And as I got to talk to them, I realized that this was a company that was, you know, really trying to do something different. And they had only opened their second restaurant at that point. But I immediately connected with that vision that we've already kind of talked about a little bit of, you know, just giving people an option that was missing. And what I love about it is I'm taking those same ideals of food that we had in fine dining, the idea of doing stuff from scratch and honoring ingredients and, you know, making sure our sourcing is impeccable. But that shouldn't have to be a special occasion, and that shouldn't have to cost $30 a person to be able to access that kind of food. That should just be food. And unfortunately, that's just not the way the American restaurant system is for the most part right now. And the only way to affect change is to show that it can be done and to start putting pressure on the suppliers and the vendors and the people that are creating the food for food service to make sure that the system starts to change. And that's something that's been really fun. And, you know, the vision for Modern Market has always been that we would have, you know, hopefully a lot of restaurants. You know, we're at 30 now and we think we have a lot of runway yet. But as we get bigger, you know, we're able to make choices with our purchasing that in turn impact other restaurants. And by us, you know, demanding clean products or better for you products or things that, you know, aren't loaded up with high fructose corn syrup or whatever else, then all of a sudden now other restaurants have access to that where, because of our purchasing power, we made it available. And that's really cool to me. And, you know, something that, I think, like, this country really needs better options for dining. And a lot of people just aren't there yet on their personal journeys. So it's cool for me to have a restaurant where we can give people those options and you can still go have a fun time with friends.
I'd love to talk more about the purchasing power that you have and the focus that you guys have on sustainable sourcing and seasonal ingredients too. I think that's so cool for a company that started basically in Boulder with all the farm-to-table atmosphere and stuff, but now as you're growing bigger, you still maintain that same approach to wanting to focus on the sustainable sourcing and the seasonal menu items and stuff like that. So I would love if you could talk more about that mission.
Yeah, it's really important. And, you know, as a bigger restaurant, it's hard to be local, right? So there's some aspects to do it. And, you know, every summer we get romaine from Colorado and we get great stuff and it's really cool. And we get whole giant heads of romaine and cut it in the restaurants. But in December, I can't get that Colorado romaine. And so I have to get romaine from elsewhere. But we still get whole head stuff and we still cut it ourselves. And, you know, so we're always looking for opportunities to try to, you know, work with the whole foods. But, you know, the other place it really shows up for us, I think, is when we do make decisions about things like proteins or even things like, you know, maybe it's like barbecue sauce. And, you know, we try to the whole idea of Modern Market is, you know, we all wish that we had time to go to a farmer's market and buy a bunch of amazing heirloom tomatoes and product and take it home and cook a really cool meal. But that's really hard. We're all so busy in our lives. And I mean, even for me as a chef, that's true. I cook a lot at home, but I don't always have time. And so the idea of Modern Market is that we kind of did that first step for you. We like went and found these real foods, these whole foods, and then we did the cooking step, and we made meals that you could make at home if you had the time to do it. You know, it's not overwrought, but it's just, you know, simple and clean and good. And so, you know, making sure that we choose stuff like, you know, hormone and antibiotic free chicken and pasture raised eggs and, you know, like a barbecue sauce that didn't have any high fructose corn syrup, like our barbecue sauce is sweetened with molasses. That took a lot of work. And, you know, they weren't even working with some of our suppliers, the company that makes this barbecue sauce. So it took us a lot of effort for us to first even find the barbecue sauce, and then even more for us to get it stocked, to get it available for our restaurants to purchase. But by us doing that, now other people have access to that clean barbecue sauce. You know, we've done that with some other companies, and there's all kinds of different stories around it. But it's just something that we think is really important. And, you know, the other big thing for us is additives. And it's just shocking how many foods that, you know, these preservatives and stabilizers and stuff show up in. And, you know, even at like Whole Foods and places where you can get better food, even that, there's a lot of carrageenan and stuff like that. Yeah, canola oil and you know, and stuff like that that, you know, we know it isn't great for you, and it just gets snuck in because it's easy. And, you know, we think that there, you can even go beyond that. And so, you know, we keep a list of ingredients. We have what we call our hell no list. So they're just ingredients that we would never, ever put in any of our food. But honestly, none of our food really has anything in it. And that's something that we're really proud of. And again, that takes a lot of effort. And, you know, we have to carry a lot of what's called proprietary items. So, you know, when we work with a new distributor, we say, hey, there's like 80 things that we need you guys to bring in for us because we refuse to compromise our standards on it. And they might look at us like we're crazy, but we think that's just really important. And, you know, and we want to make sure we're transparent too, that if you peer behind the curtain, you can feel good about what you're going to find at the restaurant.
Well, one of the things that I love about the restaurant is that even though you guys are now a nationwide chain, I guess, you still have seasonal menu items that are constantly changing. So I know you said when you first started with them, they were looking for just help with seasonal recipe development. So where does your inspiration for creating those recipes come from?
Well, I think eating seasonally is just something that feels right. And again, it's the best way when you're working with whole ingredients is to try to do that seasonally. And while local, I think, is really hard to do as a chain restaurant, there's still something to be said for cooking with ingredients that are in season because, you know, if you take stuff like, let's say, asparagus, for example, well, I could have asparagus on the menu here in November, it would be coming from Peru. So, you know, even though my asparagus normally might be coming from, I don't know, Mexico or Arizona, so, you know, not super local to me, it's not the same as Peru where all of a sudden there's all these thousands of miles of carbon footprint that's being put on that product, right? So I think that's really important is that as you eat seasonally, it does help the food to be closer to you. And then the other thing is, I think there's just our bodies are naturally in tune to the seasons and that, you know, certain foods, certain fruits, certain items taste best certain times of year. And that's something that's really important to us. And so we do 3 or 4 seasonal menu changes a year, and we almost always try to incorporate different seasonal ingredients. We're getting ready to launch our winter menu next week, and we're going to be doing some artichoke hearts. We're doing Brussels sprouts. We're doing some stuff with citrus, which we don't often think about it, but citrus is a kind of a winter fruit. Actually, you know, in Florida, this is a big time of year for it. And in the, you know, in the spring, that's when we'll do the asparagus when the time's right and where we can get that from closer to home and it's going to taste better anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just went in, I think a week or two ago. Yeah. 2 weeks ago. And I had the new, the coconut curry salmon bowl, which highly recommend if you guys have ever been to Modern Market. But where do you get inspired about the different like flavor combinations and stuff?
Yeah. So we try not to limit ourselves too much with flavor combinations. We want to, again, we almost always start with the ingredients and, or, you know, it might be a specific flavor or it might be a specific ingredient that we want to focus on. And from there, we'll go in any direction. So you'll find stuff that's, you know, Latin American influence, that's, you know, straight classic Americana, that we find Asian influences. We've done, you know, lots of Italian and Spanish flavors before. And so, you know, we'll kind of create flavor combinations from all over the globe. That's something nice about, you know, kind of being a chef-driven concept. And, you know, I'm a trained chef, and I have an R&D chef who works for me, too, who's our creative culinary person. And, you know, we both have strong backgrounds in working with, you know, different kinds of food. And so we want to be on the cutting edge. And, you know, again, we think that food should be interesting. And that's our first and foremost, is that we want to create food that's craveable and interesting and delicious and, you know, maybe a little unexpected. And then, oh, yeah, it's also good for you. Mm-hmm. because, you know, there's plenty of places to eat boring, healthy food. And that's not what's going to get people to eat better in their daily lives, is boring, healthy food. You know, we want to have exciting, healthy food and food that's first and foremost delicious. And so it just kind of depends on the dish. You know, for the that salmon bowl that you mentioned, we wanted to put salmon on the menu, and we were trying to think about seasonal ingredients. And sweet potatoes were one that we thought of that we can access. They have that beautiful color. They're really healthy for you. And we ended up pairing that. It's with a yellow curry. So kind of a Thai-style yellow curry with galangal and kefir lime and all those amazing flavors. It pairs amazingly with the butternut. And then, oddly enough, we put it with a braised kale, which is kind of a Southern-style thing. But, again, it adds a little nutrition. It adds this really deep, earthy flavor that we found worked really well with the rice and the salmon. And so that bowl kind of came together. But it was, you know, it all started with the looking for flavors that would work with salmon and then trying to make something that we thought would be really interesting and delicious.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite things is when I go to any restaurant is if I look at the menu and it's like, wow, that's not a combination I ever would have thought of before. You know, like I know, I don't know if this is still on the menu right now, but I believe there used to be a sandwich that was blueberry and pesto and mozzarella or something like that. And I was like, this is so cool. Like I never would have thought to do that. Or my all-time favorite one, which anyone who knows me and has gone to Modern Market with me or heard me talk about it knows, that the Thai coconut chicken salad is like my all-time favorite. Every time I go, I have trouble not getting that salad because it's so good.
Well, so you got to come try our new Buddha bowl that we put on the menu. It uses the same dressing from the Thai coconut salad, but paired up with spicy roasted broccoli and really nice whole grains and some pickled veggies and
that sounds amazing.
An incredible glazed tofu, but you can get it with, you know, whatever protein you want. Really cool. The blueberry pesto sandwich is a great example, right? So a caprese is a classic flavor combination, right? Basil, cheese, a balsamic tomato, right? We all kind of know that flavor profile. And that's exactly what we want to do. It'd be really easy to put a caprese sandwich on the menu and everybody would know what that is. But, you know, that would just kind of be something you'd see elsewhere. And so we wanted to elevate that. And that's where our blueberry pesto sandwich came with. So we took some of that same inspiration. We have beautiful, you know, fresh tomatoes that we're hand cutting in all the stores. We have a really high quality mozzarella. But, you know, instead of just basil leaves, we have an organic nut-free basil pesto. So, again, we're able to hit a lot of different dietary restrictions that way. And then in place of the balsamic, we make our own blueberry balsamic jam. And that's a product that we make ourselves. And it's a, you know, twist on the classic kind of balsamic glaze, but made a little bit healthier because we have all the nice, deep, dark, jammy fruit in there from the blueberry. It's not very sweet because we make it ourselves. That's one of the things that we're able to control is how sweet it is. And so we're using a little bit of organic cane sugar is where all the sweetness comes from. And then there's a little lemon juice and a little balsamic vinegar, and that's it. Those are all the ingredients. So, again, there aren't any stabilizers or anything like that. We make it, make it fresh, and it kind of ticks those same flavor boxes. And so you put that all together. It's an unexpected flavor combination with pesto and blueberry jam, but the way it eats is it tastes like caprese with, you know, cheese and basil and balsamic. So, I think that's a great example of something that, you know, we've tried to elevate and, you know, create something that's craveable and delicious, but also pretty good for you. And, and hits a lot of different macro points and has, thoughtful use of sugar and, overall it's not too bad.
Yeah, really cool. So that being said, what are some of your personal favorite year-round menu items? And then what are some of your favorite seasonal ones that are only around for a short period of time?
Yeah. So I love our, we have a mushroom pizza that we do on the menu. That's one of my favorites. It's on year round. What makes that really interesting is we do shredded raw kale that we marinate and then top the pizza with that. And it gets kind of crispy, crunchy in our pizza oven. And it's just a really nice flavor combination with just a little bit of goat cheese, organic tomato sauce, and some nice roasted mushrooms that we just do really, really simply. So that's something that I think is, kind of good every single day. Our grain bowls have been a really big seller for us, and you already talked about the salmon bowl a little bit. But we also have a bowl that's got pulled pork. And for that bowl, we infuse the pulled pork with a little bit of lemongrass, which gives it a nice, kind of bright, acidic flavor, and a nice citrusiness. And then there's just some, raw veggies on there. And on the side is a little bit of a chili vinegar, which is a clean sriracha. So it's not the classic green top sriracha, which has a lot of weird stuff in it, by
Yeah,
the
that
way.
you can't even pronounce.
So that's another weird example. We went out there and we found a sriracha where the ingredients were clean. And that was a lot of work, and that seems kind of crazy because the other one's really easy to buy. But that again is just kind of indicative of who we're trying to be as a restaurant. But we just infuse that into a little bit of rice wine vinegar with some sesame seeds, and it creates a really light sauce to go with the pork. Again, a lot of fresh veggies, a really nice heirloom blend of rice for some complex carbs, and it's healthy, but it doesn't eat like it. It eats like pulled pork, and it's really delicious and satisfying, a little spicy, and really good. For seasonal items, we change seasonal items all the time, so we're constantly rotating them. But some past favorites for me is we've done a roasted beet salad where we use both yellow and red beets that we roasted. And then what made that really special for me is a lemon maple vinaigrette, which is actually really easy to make at home, just with the juice and zest of a lemon, a little bit of maple syrup, a little bit of chili flake, and just shake that together, and you can make a really bright, vibrant dressing. That's pretty simple. And then we've also done just a lot of really cool salads through the years. Another one that comes to mind is we did one last year that we called our Fresno Mint Salad. And what was really cool about that is in place of some of the lettuce, we took broccoli and we shaved it super, super thin. And so the kind of greens component of that was half shaved broccoli and then half arugula. And it gave the salad a really nice, satisfying crunch and texture. We did it with a yogurt-based dressing. And so that was really nice. Again, really light, but it felt really filling. And with all the great broccoli in there, it ate like a great, crunchy, satisfying salad. We had some fresh shaved Fresno chilies in there, torn mint leaves, roasted cherry tomatoes, which kind of bring out the natural sweetness without us needing to use any sugar. And that all paired up just really kind of great with that crunchy base of greens.
Cool. So that's all at the restaurant. What does it look like when you cook for yourself?
Good question. My wife is definitely really spoiled. Cooking is my decompression now. A lot of my job is, laptop and emails and food costs. And so I go home most nights and spend a couple hours cooking, and that's kind of how I relax. And cooking at home for me, I try to cook very simply. Oftentimes for us, it'll be a couple nice veggies and a protein, or we'll try to meal prep. So something that I love to do is we'll make a batch of shredded chicken, for instance, and then I'll try to challenge myself to use that all week long in four or five different ways. Last week I made some turkey meatballs one day, and so we had meatballs with polenta one night, and we had some little meatball pitas the next night, and then we had an Italian wedding soup with the meatballs in it, and finding ways to take one ingredient and kind of highlight it and use it throughout the week. That helps us to eat, I think, a little bit more simply. And then, again, personally, I just really try to watch sugar. I find that such a trap. That's one of the things that just try to sneak into everything. And so, that's something at home that we really try to be careful with is, if we are going to use sugar, let's be really strategic about when and where. It's funny how it works, right? Right, so there's some candy around the house, and it's like you eat one of those candy bars, and all of a sudden you're eating 10 of those candy bars, where I haven't had a candy bar in 6 months. You know what I mean? But just that one little taste of it was enough that I wanted more. And so I think, that's something that can be really challenging this time of year, but you just got to be aware of it and be careful.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about sugar is if you cut it out for your diet from a while, then you don't really want it. But as soon as you have a candy bar or you have anything else, it's so hard to not get trapped back into one that taste. Cycle. Yep. Yeah, just one taste and then your sugar cravings are like, you know, off the walls. And it's so hard, especially around the holidays, because there's stuff everywhere. And so then you have people who are, on the one hand, are like really trying to restrict from everything, but then they end up just like, you know, totally going off the walls with all the sugar. Or on the totally opposite end of things, you have the people who just say like, okay, the holidays are from Halloween until New Year's, and then they just, you know, totally overdo it. So I know one of the things you guys are trying to do as being like a healthier fast casual restaurant, and I'm trying to do, is help people find what is that middle ground? Because it doesn't have to be, you know, the two extremes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And I think you have to allow yourself some moderation. And this is a really hard time of year to try to do a restrictive diet. But, you know, I think, like, you can't beat yourself up too much, right? I think is the first thing to remember is that you're going to be in that situation. And, you know, if you put a lot of guilt on yourself, it's just going to make the whole thing worse. And so, you know, I think a little bit of indulgence, if you're go into it allowing yourself that and kind of with a plan that, okay, I know like my grandma's pumpkin pie is going to be there and I'm not going to feel bad if I have a slice of pumpkin pie. I think that's, you know, that's healthier and better for you mentally and you know, from a nutritional standpoint, then showing up thinking that you're going to be cold turkey on the sweets. And then next thing you know, you have a cookie and now you're trying five different desserts and right. And just digging in. So go into it with a plan and,
And take the guilt out of it.
Take the guilt out of it. Yep. Like it's the time of year to enjoy, but you know, I think you nailed something was don't let it be the next 60 days that now you're just going to be eating, you know, fruitcake every morning and leftover pie for breakfast, right? Mm-hmm. you know, give yourself the chance to indulge at a, you know, family gathering or holiday party, but then, you know, make sure that your plan includes going back to something good for you the next day and have a nice green salad or make yourself a big bowl of some dark leafy greens or, mm-hmm. you know, go something like that for lunch or dinner the next day and give yourself a chance to recharge.
Yeah. So what is your favorite holiday dessert, speaking of all of the delicious things?
I'm a classic apple pie guy. That's my go-to. So I love a nice apple pie with like some cinnamon caramel sauce and a nice fruit topping. That's kind of my go-to dessert. I'm not a big sweets guy. Yeah. So, you know, I prefer to make a pie where I can kind of let it be fruit forward and, you know, maybe use a little bit of maple syrup or a little bit of molasses, use a natural sweetener in place of, you know, a lot of sugar and, you know, like everybody likes pecan pie, but man, it's, you know, there's weird stuff in there. So mm-hmm. I think a nice like, base pie is the way to go. And, you know, and there's so many opportunities to do stuff that can still feel indulgent and can still feel seasonal and holiday, but can, you don't have to go all the way, right? It doesn't have to be mashed potatoes that are loaded up with butter and cream, right? One of my favorite tricks for mashed potatoes is just reserve some of the cooking water that you cook the potatoes with. That's going to have a lot of the starch that came off the potatoes. And you can replace that with a, you know, a good portion of the milk or dairy in a mashed potato recipe, and it'll be just as creamy and just as delicious, right? Or can you, you know, put some white sweet potatoes in there? Or can
you do a puree?
Yeah, they're so good, right? And you can do that in a mashed potato and it'll be just as satisfying, but now you've added some healthier carbs. Or, you know, even pureed cauliflower can be super delicious and really satisfying in the same way. And, you know, I think that depends on whether you're doing the holiday dinner at your house or whether you're going to somebody else's house. But just because you're going to somebody else's house doesn't mean that you can't still do some of that. And so, you know, like when I go to a friend's house, you know, I'll try to bring at least one healthy side that, you know, we know will be something good. You know, something that's one of my favorites is butternut squash, or really there's lots of different squashes. One of my favorites is kabocha squash. If you can find those, they're small. They're like kind of like a big zucchini, and they're brightly colored yellows and greens and reds. What's amazing about kabocha squash is that you can eat the shell. You don't have to peel it ahead of time. So it makes preparation of it really simple. And, you know, I just love roasting some squash with speaking of global flavors, there's some Indian spices that can be really warm and have flavor notes that really feel seasonal. And so like garam masala is a great option. Or there's another Indian spice blend called Ras Al Hanout. And both of those have warm elements like clove and cinnamon and cumin and coriander and things that kind of taste like Thanksgiving or taste like Christmas. And so like a little bit of those tossed with some roasted squash are amazing. Or I also make a butternut squash soup that's really simple. And that's another thing that, if you show up to Thanksgiving dinner at your mom's house with some roasted butternut squash soup, it's going to be, everybody's going to start with the soup. Now you're, starting by filling yourself up with something that's a little bit better for you. You can make it with coconut milk and coconut oil. And, you get that beautiful, rich creaminess, but you can use broth. You don't have to use actually any dairy in that. So it's actually full of fiber and, really good stuff for you. And now you've filled yourself up a little bit with something before you dig into the, the stuffing and turkey and whatever else.
Yeah, that all sounds great. Well, thank you. This has been really fun. I love having just like completely different fun conversations, because normally on my podcast, it's very like health focused, or we talk a lot about like body image or, food freedom or any of that stuff. So it's fun to do a different interview every once in a while. So I would love if you could let people know where they can find you and all of the innovative things that you are doing.
Yeah, so the best place to find me is on Instagram at @chef_Nate. And you'll see lots of stuff that we're working on. The Modern Market website is a great resource. And if you guys aren't familiar with Modern Market, definitely check it out. Our blog's on there, and we have all kinds of cool videos and links to how to eat healthier. And you can check out our menu and see if maybe there's one near you. I think that's about it.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Real Talk with Dana. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your family and friends, and share the love by throwing us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, which will help spread the word and do a small part to correct all of the fitness and nutrition misinformation or bullshit that's out there, which is only causing people to become more unhealthy. Come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana on Instagram and Facebook. Join the Real Talk with Dana Facebook group for more support and discussion on these episodes. And come hang out over on realfoodwithdana.com for the show notes and totally epic and delicious recipes.